Your body was never meant to be content. Your sexuality was never meant to be a brand. Your intimacy was never meant to have an audience. And somewhere in the last 10 years, we collectively lost the plot on what is sacred and what is public and what is nobody else's business. And we just started putting everything on display and calling it authenticity. Y'all, it's not authenticity. It is a big show. It is a big ass performance. And there's a massive difference between those two things that the culture has been working very hard to collapse. I'm going to say some things today that are going to piss people off, and it's going to make people uncomfortable. And I'm totally fine with that. Uncomfortable means that we're getting somewhere real. And this episode is not about judging who you love. Okay. I want to make that very clear. I've already heard any name you want to call me. I don't give a shit. I've heard it. I'm still here. It's okay. Whatever, do your worst. It's fine with me. I have incredible friends who have made life choices that I just don't think was God's calling for their life, but I don't get to judge that. Like, God's gonna ask them about their life. He's not gonna ask me. He's not gonna be like, so tell me about Susie and what is she doing with another woman? And I'm, he's not asking me. He's gonna talk to Susie about her own shit, okay? And now I love Susie. May not love or would have chosen her lifestyle for her, maybe want her to just find who she is in Christ, maybe want her to see a different version, but that's not on me. I love her where she's at. And I think because rebellion season is coming to a close, we're in the middle of what everyone is trying to call Pride Month, okay? Like we're in it, we're in the season. This conversation needed to happen. And I think a lot of people don't understand. And I get it. Like, angry people that are like hurt and unsettled, they're always going to attack people that they don't want to understand what they're saying, right? This ended up becoming something like so out of control. Like, your identity should never be who you sleep with. That shouldn't be an identity. So I don't want you to get this all twisted. It's a logical conversation that I've had with a lot of people that don't think like I think. And we've been able to have the conversation and we've been able to meet on a mutual ground of respect. So this is not a judging what you do in your private life between consenting adults. That's between you and God. It is not my fucking business. And I mean that. I mean that. And I'm not saying I have gay friends like we try to justify. I have gay friends. I have black friends. I'm not part of that. I truly do have the greatest friends that I love deeply, mentors that I love deeply, and I pray for them always, just like I pray for every fucking person I love. Love the person, don't have to agree with the sin. The sin isn't my business. Full stop on that. So this episode today, really for Rebellion Season, it's about the display. It's about the performance. It's about the culture that decided your sexuality should be your identity, that it should be your platform, your content, your children's curriculum, and your brand. And like, I'm done with it. A lot of people are done with it. I know most of my gay friends are done with it. It's not fun. It's not funny. It's not cool across the board. And I'll say this now, gay, straight, it doesn't matter to me. The moment your intimate life becomes a spectacle for an audience, something sacred gets destroyed. And I don't think we're talking about it. So I don't want you to think that it's just pride on the table today because fuck OnlyFans. Porn needs to go too. There is so much stuff that is out there that is just, it's awful. The devil is busy, y'all. The devil is busy. Listen, welcome to Listen Bitch Podcast. Okay. I'm Brandon Lynette. In case you're new here, I am the Voice Authority Podcast Coach. Your mess is your message. And today's mess is really just a cultural one. The mess of a world that commodified intimacy and sexualized everything, including spaces meant for kids. And then anyone who objects is called a bigot. I'm not a bigot, y'all. I'm just gonna say that. I don't give a shit if you think I am. I don't have to defend that. I am a Christian and I really believe that sexuality is sacred. I believe that your body is a temple. I believe that some things are meant to be private, not because they're shameful, but because they are precious, and precious things do not belong on a platform for engagement metrics. Before we go in today, of course, I'm going to talk about Super Patch, okay? I'm going to talk about defend today because that's a great word. Because what I'm about to say requires a nervous system that is very grounded and a body that's protected. So, is it defend in a sense I feel like I have something to defend? No, I'm declaring my truth. I don't have shit to defend, but our nervous systems do, and that's what the defend patch is for. Okay, y'all, we're in a cultural war that was created by design. You're useful fucking idiots, whether we signed up for it or not. And I just want to say my defend patch, okay? This sticker supports your immune system, your blood flow, your natural healing. I mean, literally, if my kid gets the sniffles, I'm like, go get a sticker, baby. Let's get a sticker. My husband used to get sick all the time. I put a defend patch on him. Nothing. Nothing. Even when the girls, I mean, they were sick for a couple days back there. Not horribly, but like you could tell they were uncomfortable. I kept the patch on them so it didn't run its full course. He always would have gotten sick. He did not at all. So it is just natural healing. It keeps your body staying ready for what's coming at it. And you guys, they're drug free, made in the USA. It's vibrotactile technology that works directly through your nervous system. So check that out in the show notes, okay? The rain is coming down. If I lose you guys, I love you. I guess I'll just post half a show. I'll just post half a show. The devil doesn't want me talking tonight. We know that clearly. There used to be a category called private life. It meant the things that belong to you and the people you chose to share them with, like your marriage, your bedroom, your body, that like that's yours. Not secret, just private, like sacred even. And then here comes the internet. And then right behind that is social media. And then the attention economy arrives and decides that every part of your life is monetizable content if you're willing to put it out there. And so, wow. OnlyFans kind of blew everything out of the water and the culture. Guess what it's doing? It's rewarding the people who put out the most intimate, the most exposed. And now everybody's calling it brave. It's not brave. Brave is keeping something sacred when the whole world is telling you to sell it out. Brave is saying this part of my life is not for public consumption. Brave is having a private life in a world that profits from your exposure. We did not become more authentic when we started sharing everything. We just started putting on a mask and trying to be who we think everybody wanted us to be so we could fucking fit in. That's what I think. Mental health is running rampant because so many people are desperate and starved, like to belong or to fit in, when really that's a Jesus thing. Like, that's the core of you remembering who you came here to be in your human experience. The moment you're aware of an audience, you're performing for it, even if you don't mean to. The audience changes the thing, it always does. So the most intimate moments of your life, the shit that actually matters, the ones that form you and connect you and define your most important relationships, those moments cannot survive an audience. A lot of things in our lives do require privacy to be real, and we handed them to the algorithm. And then we wonder, like, why is everybody just walking around feeling hollow? And we keep trying to feel this with outside source. Like, you just want to feel something. You're looking for everything outside of yourself so you could feel that calm, so you could feel that peace, and it's never going to come. You're just going to keep chasing your tail, and everywhere you go, there you are. And what happens in the brain when sexuality gets turned into content and identity gets collapsed into a single dimension? The brain has a reward system built on dopamine. And so dopamine fires not just for physical pleasure, but for social validation. It's going off when they're getting likes and shares and people are spending money to see vile, corrupt shit. Okay. The comments, the response of an audience. The brain processes the social approval through some reward pathway, like as a physical sensation, which means the performance of intimacy for an audience, it will activate the reward system, ding, ding, ding. And the brain, which is building toward whatever produces the reward, starts wanting more, 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 more. You have to perform more. How far do these people fucking go when they start to sell out? Where does it stop? Do I think this is a part of like the toxic culture we've talked about all season? The one that I talk about on Faith and Fire, God and Country? Absolutely. The disgusting demon-worshipping elites that are running our country, that were never elected, were never voted in, that run the banking system, all of this. They started this and they've gotten away with everything. So how far have they gone? How far will they go? Because once you get so far, your brain wants more. And then you start justifying and it wants more. Pretty soon, like we're the weirdos because we're mom and dad raising some kids at home. I'm a homeschool mom. I'm the fucking weirdo. It's crazy to me. And I'm not making moral statements. This is just neuroscience. The brain doesn't care whether the reward is sacred or profane. It just chases the dopamine and the platforms, you guys. So much study and money and intention. They are engineered specifically to exploit that chase. You think they didn't study the neurological reward pattern? And then they do this. They build the infinite scroll, the variable reward schedule, all of it designed to keep your nervous system in a constant state of seeking that next hit. OnlyFans is this taken to its logical extreme? That's it. The complete commodification of the body. The reduction of intimacy to a subscription model. The nervous system has been so thoroughly hijacked by the reward loop that the most intimate parts of a person become just another content category. And your nervous system, like the system is supposed to, to regulate you, to help you feel safe and connected and grounded. That system doesn't know the difference between genuine intimacy and the performance. It just knows the chemical response. And the more it gets that performed version, the harder it becomes to access the real shit. That real connection is going to require vulnerability without an audience. And for a nervous system that is trained, you're addicted at this point. You're trained on the performance version. That vulnerability becomes terrifying rather than connecting. So you go deeper down the rabbit hole of selling your soul and you justify it. We are producing a generation of people who cannot be intimate because they have only ever been performative. And we're doing it to children. And this is where I get really fucking pissed. Bringing the kids into this. Big tech built the platform and then built the monetization model and then sat back and watched as people discovered that their bodies, their sexuality, the most intimate self was the most profitable content available. And can I just blame the machine? No, it's the same way. Like TikTok pisses me off. I look at the shit that goes viral and I think this is what people are sitting around watching all day. It fucking enrages me because it's so stupid. Someone really is gonna go viral for eating strawberries? Like that's what we have lowered ourselves down to? We have continued feeding the monster. OnlyFans generated over $5 billion in revenue in 2022. Not from the company's product, from the bodies of the people on it. The platform takes its cut, and the person provides the content, and the culture says this is empowerment. Yeah, babe, it is not empowerment. Empowerment is owning something that cannot be taken away from you. The moment your value is located in your body on a platform, the platform owns the distribution of that value. They can demonetize you tomorrow. They can change the algorithm. They can shut down the account. And the thing you thought you owned was rented the whole time. Porn did the same thing decades earlier in the research on what it takes and what it does to the brain. It is not subtle. It rewires the reward system. It raises the threshold for stimulation. This was all intentional. It produces isolation rather than connection. It is not a harmless private behavior because it's not actually private. It involves real people whose exploitation was required to create the content. And the industry is built on exploitation regardless of how it's framed. The corporations that slap a fucking rainbow on their products every June, they call it support. They're running the same playbook. They're not allies, you dumbass. They're marketers. They're making money on you being a useful idiot. They identified a demographic with spending power and half mental illness. And they package their brand alongside a movement for 30 days and they pull the rainbow back on July 1st and go back to whatever they were doing before that. It's not support. It's that's market segmentation. And the people within that community who see it clearly, they say the same shit I say. In fact, I think I just found my best friend on Facebook, you guys. I shared a post that she had the other day. She's already over the internet. She fucking deleted it, but she says the same thing. People are getting tired of it. She said, "Stop fucking using us to sell products."
stop.
Ugh, the deep state, the corrupt institutional structures, they need sexuality to be an identity rather than an aspect of personhood, because identity politics fragments communities into manageable segments. When your sexuality is your entire identity, you can be organized around it. They have manipulated you, and then they use that to keep you fighting with everybody on the internet. You are marketed to, you're managed, you're bought and paid for. You're kept in a specific lane. A person who is whole, integrated human being with a sexuality that is one private aspect of a full life is much harder to control than a person whose entire sense of self is organized around a single characteristic. I mean, how long have they been using bribery? Like, how long have they been taking pictures of people having affairs and bribing them to get whatever they want? Our entire foundation of our government is based on that. Epstein Island, fucking based on that. All of that. Yeah, you know the shit that happened that they've been sitting on since like 2006? This started way before that. Intentionally. It's not an accident. This was all design. The Bible is the guidebook. It's so simple. The body is a temple. That's not just something you say so you behave yourself. It is the truth. That is a declaration about sacred architecture. It's a temple, not a stage. A temple is not a content platform. A temple is a place where the sacred dwells, where you bring what matters most, where you do not let just anyone, because not everyone is equipped to handle what is holy. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." You were bought with a price. Your body belongs to God first, which means your sexuality. That deeply human, deeply embodied, deeply relational part of your personhood. It was designed to be an expression of covenant, of commitment, of the kind of love that does not require an audience because it's not performing, it is just present. Song of Solomon is the most, probably, I would say it's like the most erotic book in scripture. And it is it's entirely private. Between two people in covenant, the pleasure is real, the desire is real, the physical intimacy is unambiguous, and it belongs completely to them. Not to the audience, not to a platform, not to a movement or a brand or their cultural virtue signaling movement, to them. That's the biblical picture of sexuality. Not shame, not sacred, fierce, private. It's a covenant designed for connection, not consumption. Culture took it, turned it into content. What gets clicks? What are you idiots clicking on? And then called anyone who objected repressed. I'm not repressed. I am working on a relationship with Christ, and let's be protective of what is holy. There is a big difference. There's a big difference. And with our babies, oh my gosh. Kids being exposed to sexually explicit content in spaces that were supposed to be safe, in fucking schools, in libraries, in digital spaces, and the adults who object are being told they're the problem. You know how many kids I see at these parades with people half naked throwing dildos around? I'm horrified. Like, how are they not embarrassed? How are they not embarrassed? Because I'm not the problem. You're not the problem. We're fucking parents, and our job is to protect our kids' nervous system and their developing sense of self and their understanding of their own body from premature sexualization that they do not have the developmental capacity to process. The research on early exposure to porn and explicit sexual content is not ambiguous. It produces distorted frameworks around consent, intimacy, and the value of a person. It wires the developing brain towards objectification before the brain has the capacity to contextualize what it is seeing. It is not age appropriate, and it does not become age appropriate because an adult fucking decides it's educational. Your child does not need to know about your sexuality. How is it? They do not need a curriculum built around it. They do not need a drag performance or explicit materials or adult conversations about adult bodies at ages when they're still just figuring out how to read. Listen, bitch, my babies and I still play Barbies, bro. Okay. They're 7 and 11 and they're not worried about this dumb shit. You know why? Because I homeschool, because I'm not a fucking idiot. I know better than to trust a state or government or anybody with my kids. Protecting babies, kids, children from premature sexualization is not bigotry. It's biology, you dumbass. It's neuroscience. It is a basic protective function of a parent. And I mean, obviously, you guys have tried a million times. I'm not going to be quiet about it. You can't shame me into silence. It's very simple. I am a Christian, a sinner. We're all sinners. I am growing into this relationship with him, and I believe everything I'm learning, my third year through the Bible, I believe marriage is between a man and a woman. I believe sexuality was designed for the covenant. I believe the body is sacred. Those are my convictions, and they come from scripture, and I hold them. And I also believe this. Every person is made. Every single person is made in the image of God. Every person. That image does not get removed because of who they love. The ground is level at the cross. And the same Jesus who died for me, he died for everybody I know and love. He died for everybody on the internet who has called me names. He died for everybody on the internet telling me to kill myself. He also died for the person on OnlyFans and for everyone whose sexuality the culture has turned into a performance or a product or a fucking political football. I can love people and 100% disagree with their choices. Both are true simultaneously. That's not a contradiction. That's what it looks like to hold a fucking conviction and to have ethics and morals and values and to love at the same time without collapsing one into the other. I'm not coming for your personhood. I'm coming for the culture that decided the most sacred aspects of human embodiment should be public, performed, monetized, and handed to fucking children. That's what I'm against across the board, regardless of who is doing it. I have gay friends that listen to this. I love you. They know I love them. They know I pray for them. They know I'm not the enemy. I'm the person who will tell you the fucking truth, and I'll still be there. That is the only kind of love worth having. I had this lady on my interview show. She spent 2 years on content platform selling intimate content. She said she got into it because she said it felt like she had a sense of control. Like she's the one to decide what got seen and what did not. Like it was her choice. And so for her, that's where she saw the empowerment. And so what she described 2 years in was the opposite. The platform owned the distribution, the audience owned the demand. Her nervous system was in constant, it was in a constant state of performance for response. Fight or flight, always engaged. She said the hardest thing about leaving was not the income. It was that her brain, she had trained her brain to associate her body with external validation so thoroughly that she did not know how to feel okay in her own skin without the performance. This is what happens when we ignore the power of intimacy. It doesn't empower, it really conditions you. And the body becomes the product, and the nervous system reorganizes around the audience. And the person inside the body just continues to get smaller and smaller until she barely exists outside of what the platform confirms. And so she's not there anymore. Okay, I'm not going to tell you guys what she does because this was our before we recorded. And it took time. Nervous systems don't rewire overnight, but she said the first moment that she felt genuinely intimate with another person, privately, she cried because she had forgotten that that was possible, that her body could be present without being on display. That is what we're protecting when we say sexuality is sacred and private. Not shame, the capacity for real intimacy, the thing the display destroys. And what do we know about the modern family? They're trying to demonize us. They don't want parents. Two-parent families, a mom and a dad, and babies. They don't want that. That's the enemy. They're running the devil's game right now. Running the devil's game. I want you guys to start having the honest conversation in your house about what your family believes about the body, about privacy, and about what's sacred. Not a lecture. I'm saying like have a genuine conversation. Your kids need to know what you believe and why before the culture tells them what to believe. You're not protecting them from information. You're giving them a foundation before the information arrives. Audit your own consumption. not to shame yourself, like to ask honestly, what have I normalized that I would not have accepted 5 years ago? I'm telling you, I asked myself, I didn't, I'm not putting this on you guys without me having gone through it. You understand that? I don't bring anything on here that I haven't put on myself first. And I had to do an incredible audit with my husband. I brought him through it this year of like everything that has changed in me and everything about what our intimacy looks like and all of this space. I've gone through it. I've asked the questions. The escalation is very slow, and that's how it works. The nervous system adapts, the threshold moves, ask the question, and then be honest about the answer and protect the private. Not everything needs to be shared. Not every part of your relationship needs to be content. Not every intimate moment needs documentation. Let some things just be yours. Practice privacy as an act of protection for the things that matter most. Your body's a temple. It's not a stage. It's not a brand. It's not a content category. It's not a platform for someone else's engagement metrics. The most rebellious thing you can do in a culture that wants to monetize everything, including your most intimate self, is to say this part is private. This part is sacred. This part does not belong to an audience. Not only for yourself to hold the boundaries for yourself, but not to encourage the algorithm by engaging in the content. It's not repression, you guys. That's reverence. And I feel like we need more of it. The culture is so fucking loud right now. The systems that profit from your exposure are very well funded and very well organized, and they have been very effective at making protection look like oppression. So don't buy into the bullshit, okay? You're allowed to believe the body is sacred. You're allowed to protect your children from premature sexualization. You're allowed to hold convictions about intimacy and privacy and covenant without apologizing. You're allowed to love people and disagree with culture and movement simultaneously. Those things are not in conflict. And if you are sitting somewhere right now feeling like you lost something, like your body's been a product for so long, you forgot it could be a temple, I want you to know that is not permanent. The nervous system rewires, the brain updates, the capacity for real intimacy does not disappear. It just gets buried under the performance. It can be found again. It can be found again. Your body was always meant to be sacred. Your voice was always meant to say the hard shit and speak the truth. If you love your people, live the truth. I love you guys.